Good morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 22nd. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Brian. How do you like that?
Yeah, you and Robin Williams, getting close there, buddy, getting close. All right.
A cup of coffee, everything's going good.
Yeah, there you go. As long as you have the apple fritter, life is looking pretty darn positive, huh?
Well, except for all the parts that aren't going so positive, but, you know, trying to keep upbeat as we, you know, struggle through these times.
Focus on the positive, yep. All righty, are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Why do we say that?
Where does the word ordeal come from?
Ordeal. This sounds like some sort of Monopoly game thing. Are you going to do or behind number four?
Yeah.
A deal. Is that something like that?
No. This is an old English word meaning to deal out. From this idea of giving to each his share, an ordeal came to mean judgment. It was once the custom to try a man by subjecting him to torture in the belief that God would defend the right, even by a miracle. This form of judgment by torture was called an ordeal. And thus, the secondary meaning of what we say when we talk about somebody having an ordeal. I'm glad it's our definition and not the Middle Ages definition.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's just terrible. I mean, you know, sometimes life feels that way, I suppose. But
yeah.
You know, trial by torture.
Yeah, it seems to be, huh? Drip, drip, drip. Oh, boy. So how you been holding up?
Oh, you know, it's all right. It's kind of nonstop. Sometimes it's that fire hose sort of thing. It's, you know, grateful that I'm able to do work and be as helpful as I can and stay, you know, in the game and doing it, you know, considering all the challenges that so many other people have and that we're trying to help them with at every level. But at the same time, it's sort of nonstop too, you know, it just doesn't, to try and break away for a break can be a bit hard at the moment just because it's, just keeps coming. There's not really a lot of distractions, I guess you'd say, in terms of the, you know, the day-to-day. There's not the chamber mixers one might go to, or this, that, and the other, or the kid plays, or the this, that, and the other, the camps and stuff. So so then it just keeps going, and it's just on overload. I mean, I feel like we're in five different disaster movies at one time, and they're all kind of coming at you. But, you know, that's what we signed up for. And so grateful that we're in it. And but at the same time, it's a bit overwhelming and trying to figure out ways to break away. I did get a chance to do some backpacking for a few days, and that was good. Good. I needed that. So I'm almost refreshed.
Get out and clear your mind a little bit.
My feet were not happy.
Are some of the processes now and the protocols starting to become a little bit more regular or normalized?
Well, I'm hoping that much of what we do becomes more normal and in terms of the current context. I mean, I really think that we, you know, still going on with these debates about masking and that sort of thing, and that science is super clear that that is extremely helpful in trying to suppress the issue of COVID-19 and the impacts of that. And we've been really lucky. And it's also through a lot of hard work. The level in Humboldt County is so low, partially because of the strong response right from the beginning that we as a county engaged in, kind of on the coattails of what the Bay Area was doing at the time. And then sort of the ongoing efforts, for sure. And sort of the normalizing of getting people to really understand the benefits of wearing facial coverings when in public, again, in places where there's, you know, social distancing is impossible and indoors and stuff like that. The science is really clear that that is probably our best defense against, you know, bigger outbreaks and those sorts of things. And so that's been getting better. Still hearing people about arguing with, you know, people at their jobs about that, and I'm hoping that people understand that that's, you know, not the best behavior to be doing in public. And then also we're seeing that, you know, our impacts, travel, it tends to, obviously, because we're doing so well here, the external threats to our community related to COVID really come from outside the area, or people here traveling elsewhere and then coming back. And so that's something you really have to be watching out for. I mean, and then while people are here, we're seeing, you know, trying to get people to really not really ask our citizens to really not have these kind of gatherings, the weddings and the birthday parties and those kinds of things that, and of course, you know, in bars and stuff like that, that's really, those can be big spreading events. So that we're doing well in those things, but at the same time, it's a constant sort of social struggle with that. But we'll get there. And then, and hopefully we'll get, you know, to the other side of this, in one piece, as they say. We are seeing some real upsides, some positives, with a lot of the camps. The day camps are in operation right now, which is really great. Kids are able to do a lot of activities, and the adaptations that they're having to do that in terms of masking and distancing and how to really socially get, you know, get some time to really be active and in the outdoors, that's been great. And those kids will be well prepared for if and how schools open up. They'll have some understanding of that. It'll be a little bit ahead. So, yeah, I don't know. You know, we're dealing with this pandemic in the best way possible, I guess. I mean, or at least in the construct of Humboldt County and its ways of doing things, we're getting there.
Step by step. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Mike, one of the challenges that I see, there were two, as you were talking in the opening segment. The first, obviously, is the gathering of friends. Obviously, there's no magic number. You know, if it's 25, okay, does that mean 26? The 26th person is too much, or 24 means that you're safe. You know, people are trying to look for something that's literal with this stuff. Is the county doing what it can to its best, try to eliminate things like public meetings and things of that nature that do have unintended consequences, but they continue to be workable? I'm thinking like in the courts and things like that. What about the interaction that the supervisors and department heads are always looking for, feedback and whatnot? Are all those going over to Zoom meetings or the equivalent of that?
Pretty much. I mean, for the most part, Zoom meetings have been how department heads and supervisors and others have been interacting almost exclusively. I think there have been some meetings. I certainly have had one or two with constituents at project sites in the field. I mean, everyone's socially distanced and masked and that sort of stuff. So face-to-face does happen a bit here and there where really necessary. But, you know, the activity of everybody to really separate long enough that we can, you know, get this virus under control is really what we're trying to do. And you're right about sort of the magic number. I mean, at the state level, they haven't proposed any sort of safe number of groups, number of people gathering outside, you know, your family unit necessarily. But at the same time, it's happening, and we have to acknowledge that, and really, and understand that, you know, I think the health officer sort of put it in sort of what we call the harm reduction model, really giving people information that the more contacts you have and the longer they are and the more unsafe they are, the more likely you are to spread the disease. And if it's prevalent, and you know, we're finding more and more in terms of the data, at least on a global scale, that folks that are not showing symptoms, asymptomatic folks, are actually becoming higher on the level in terms of spreading the disease. So it's not so obvious as we once thought it was, and the transmission through aerosol, you know, basically through aerosol, through people speaking loudly and singing and being in the same space, that's, you know, where we're really seeing it. And so that's why trying to keep that social distancing is extremely important, and why, again, facial coverings are, yeah, I know there's a lot of what we're talking about is, you know, facial coverings protect other people, but they really actually have been showing to reduce infections in those persons who's wearing them, around 65% reduction. So that's significant. It's not perfect. None of this is perfect at all. It's all, you know, just trying to reduce the statistics enough that we're not getting breakouts that are causing the problems that we're seeing in Southern California and other places where they're running out of ICU beds and where they're transferring people to out-of-county hospitals, and we really are seeing those spikes happening again. And again, we're fortunate in that we've been good at what we're doing for the most part. I mean, and vigilant. So, I mean, you and I were having this conversation right now, right? Virtually or whatever over the phone, where we used to have it in person, and we're doing that, you know, to protect each other and everybody else. So I think, it's just keeping on it, just keeping vigilant. We will get through this. There's a lot of unknowns about this virus, too, in terms of can you catch it again if you've caught it once before and survived, even at an asymptomatic level, are the cures or the vaccines or how good for how long? So there's a lot of unknown. That's why they call it a novel virus. And so protect yourself. That's all I can say.
Well, and there's the other challenge also with some of the cultural things like schooling.
Yeah, that's going to be our biggest challenge.
I think that's probably the next big hurdle, don't you?
Oh, God, it's terrible. I mean, you know, and some people have said, like, well, you know, we got all excited about bars being open and that sort of stuff, but we didn't really think about, well, I mean, not as a nation, I would say, you know, some of us were thinking about this a lot, was, you know, what are we sacrificing in that? And in terms of, you know, the openings in the schools, and this is going to be really challenging. I have my own kid. I know I'm a parent of two children, and one of my children is back from college because the college is shut down, and I got another one who's in junior high, and I have two parents working, myself and my wife, and the challenge of what's kind of coming next is extremely anxiety ridden, and trying to figure out what that's going to be.
I suspect, Mike, that that's going to be the big issue, is if it's 2 days a week and they're traveling in these pods together, if it's half days, if the, you know, whatever the educational model is that is either permitted by the state or opted with the local school board, the ripple into the family is going to be something I think that is going to be as challenging as anything else associated with opening the schools.
Right, and you know, I'm thinking in that conversation just a minute ago, I'm thinking about me, right? It's like my kid and my, you know, and all the other kids. It's like the impact on them is just intense. I will say that, you know, the county public health official through the state, the doctor and through the state have been basically working with the local schools to try and figure this out. But this, you know, every school district has its own policy on this. And that can also be causing some issues. And I would ask that, you know, maybe getting someone from the school district on your show, it might be a pretty good idea.
Twice a month, baby.
Going on.
twice a month for the last 20 years. KINS.
News and information. Once a week would be good now.
It's 8:30.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. So, Mike, at least we have one sign of normalcy with baseball getting ready to fire off tomorrow night. But it's as you look at some of the other things that are going on, the county departments are still functioning. They're still doing stuff. The folks out in the field are still out in the field. What are some of the things that you're hearing, either challenges or victories that they're having?
Well, I mean, you know, it is interesting. Some work projects are underway fairly well in terms of, you know, public works type stuff, especially when the traffic really dropped off. That was helpful. We do now have the campgrounds open on Friday of last week, but the week before. So that's good. You know, there's been a lot of challenges in the Health and Human Services Department for sure, you know, in servicing folks who really need sort of, you know, any kind of behavioral health, mental health services, kids, those kinds of things. That's been very, very challenging, to say the least. You know, so where people are really having literally like a very hands-on approach to helping folks through, you know, some very challenging situations, that is very different now. So there have been some, you know, some funding that's come through that's been very beneficial. There's funding that came through to help the airport survive. There's been funding that's come through in terms of Health and Human Services, and there's been requests by the county to help alleviate costs in the response. And those are, you know, those are happening and coming through. And then also, you know, we have to say our business development and economic development people are top notch in terms of the rural perspective that we're seeing around the state and around the nation in terms of really getting together. Mendocino, Del Norte, and Humboldt County getting together 3 times a week. You know, with dozens of folks checking in, and they're just, I have to say, it's like they're getting noticed from other regions. It's just how well they're helping businesses deal with the situation. Again, always hard, and not everything's a success all the time, but I have to say the energy and response has been really great. They're also talking about putting together, oh boy, this sort of, these trainings for basically de-escalating situations for frontline workers, and that, you know, in stores where we talked about earlier, some people want to argue about masks, about going into stores. And so they're talking about doing trainings, and even that has had some national attention, that this might be one of the first training things put together by a local community to help train folks to de-escalate these situations. And again, I've reminded, you know, at the board level and other places, like, that's not a good place to have that conversation. You're entering into a private business. You don't have a right not to wear a mask. It is required to wear masks in those businesses, just as it is to wear shoes and a shirt.
Well, there was a really great scenario that Greg Foster had, and I hadn't thought of it in this way, but it makes sense. You're entering into someone's personal property. It's their house.
Right.
You play by their rules, period.
Right, yeah.
You don't like it, you don't got to go in. No problem.
Right.
But you don't go in there and tell people to rearrange their furniture.
Right.
Why would you go in?
Yeah, and I think also what people are maybe not understanding but is implicit is that there's been real violence, and people getting shot and killed over these conflicts around the United States. So when someone enters a business and starts to be agitated and want to argue about that, the context is the person viewing that, coming in their direction, they're thinking, well, is this person going to kill me? Or do they have a gun? Because I don't know, because it's been happened around the United States. And so, entering into those arguments can be literally somewhat terrorizing. And so really, I think people really have to be very cautious about how they do that, because, you don't want to be traumatizing for people who are just trying to do their job. They're just doing their jobs. So all I can say is put on a mask. There is no evidence at all that putting on the mask reduced your amount of oxygen. There's all kinds of information about that out there in terms of, like, literally people put on masks, they put on the O2, the oxygen sensors, and they're still getting 100% oxygen in their blood, and certainly surgeons put these things on for hours and hours and hours. We can put them on for 15 or 20 minutes in the store. It's just not that big of a hardship. It really works. I strongly recommend it. And as a country, as a culture, just hasn't been what we've done. So we just have a hard time adapting. In some other countries, and this is something they've been doing to control disease for a long time, and reduce impacts of viruses and colds and bacteria for many years. But for us, it's new, and so sometimes people think of Americans as very adaptable, and sometimes maybe a few of us aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. So, Mike, other than normal stuff, this time of the year, what kind of sense do you have? What is the budget year going to be like? What are you looking at as far as some of the normal anticipated things, if we can kind of steer the conversation for the final segment in that area?
Well, we already approved the budget for the year, but again, budgets are just spending plans. And we do quarterly adjustments to that based on, anticipated revenue. And so we have already anticipated that revenues will decline, and the budget's based on that. But again, that budget could be adjusted if revenues decline more than expected, and likewise in the other direction. That boat has set sail, I guess, sort of, we'll see how what storms come our way more than we already have. I think there's been, as you've maybe seen, there's been some interest in from the conversations about how we spend our money, and these budgets are quite frankly, they are moral documents in terms of, like, your priorities and what, and there are people starting to ask questions about, related to where we spend that money, enforcement versus social services versus public works and those sorts of things, and who has and who hasn't, and who has and hasn't for, many, many years. And so we're getting into those discussions, and we'll see how that goes. I think it's all in the context of the national and state, priorities as well, because we really have to understand that we're only a small slice of that. And then when we fight about priorities locally, we're basically discussing a smaller slice of the pie than sort of the big stuff. And so, as I've said before, in a country where we have, you know, where 50% of the new wealth goes up into the 1%, and where we spend, the next 10 countries under the table in military spending, it doesn't leave a lot left for us to argue about at the bottom. And by the bottom, I mean at the local level. So, you know, those are things we're going to get more into.
With some of the discussions with the governor passing his edicts, is there any determination yet whether or not funding is going to come along with some of his new requirements?
Well, we hope so. I mean, as you know, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. And that's just been the way it has been with the state and the constant advocacy. And, you know, like, kudos to both Supervisor Bass and Vaughn for really getting into the mix there at the state level. In terms of the county and the state representation that they bring to the county organizations that work with the state, so I do appreciate that and the information that they bring back for us, so we can be effective in our advocacy. So from that perspective, it's the usual. I don't know.
But you know what? It took you long enough, so it's the end of the show. Thanks for coming by, buddy.
Hey, well, you know, I do what I can. I'll virtually fly by all the time.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Talk
to you later.
Thanks. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye.